Thank you, choir, for another beautiful song. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to read some scripture today from the book of Hebrews, if you want to be turning there, Hebrews chapter 12. And also in Psalm 16 and Isaiah 35. But we'll take our text primarily from Hebrews chapter 12. So if you found that and would like to read along with us, let's stand in honor of the scripture this morning. And to give you a chance to stretch a little bit before we get into the long haul. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to us from these scriptures today. Lord, we do praise you for your word because your word is truth. We thank you, Lord, that your word is a light into our path and a lamp into our feet. And we pray that you would help us to hide your word in our heart that we might not sin against you. Speak to us through these scriptures, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray and give you praise. Amen. And everybody say amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd like to try to preach to you this morning on this this subject, the title of my message, The Incredible Force of Joy. The Incredible Force of Joy. Amen. I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not expecting you to raise your hand, but it would be interesting to me to know kind of a survey, but we're not going to ask for a show of hands. But how many of you would consider yourself right now a joyful person? Amen. And how many of you would put yourselves in the category of, I think I need a little more joy in my life? I saw smiles and raised hands and confessions on all levels right here. Let me just tell you my confession this morning. I first felt drawn to these thoughts earlier this week. I felt the Lord lay this on my heart and was excited about the possibility of preaching to you today about joy. And so I was filling my heart and mind with various thoughts. And as the week wore on, I began to argue with the Lord and said, Lord, I like the subject of joy and I want to preach on joy, but please, not this week. I don't feel up to it. I don't feel worthy of it. I don't feel prepared for it. Amen. This has been one of those weeks where we've made several trips back and forth to Illinois, as you all know. We're in this temporary position here, and it's required quite a bit of travel. But this is one of those weeks where it was especially wearing on me. I'm tired. Amen. I'm feeling fatigue. Does fatigue affect joy? I think that you're agreeing with me this morning that oftentimes fatigue does have an effect upon our joy. But this was also the week that we attended the funeral of a friend. That was why we went home unexpectedly this week because a pastor friend of ours from Missouri, 78 years old, he had fought a good fight. He kept the faith, and no scriptures were quoted at the funeral, I think. Brother Ryan Ralston, one of the speakers there, made mention of that. But it was a homegoing celebration, a man of faith who pastored the same church for 51 years. And for the Christian, a funeral is a celebration of homegoing. And so there is that sense of joy, the underlying joy that we know that that is the ultimate healing. Our battle is through. No more cancer treatments. No more struggles with the after effects of it. And the ultimate healing is heaven. Somebody say amen. Praise God. But it's hard to be joyful when you're sitting on the platform as I was and looking out and seeing the pastor's wife with the tears running down her face, contemplating the days of loneliness that are ahead. And so I have that on my mind today. Amen. And we dealt with some other things, some family issues that kind of put me in that category of frustration, maybe a little bit, maybe irritation, agitation, whatever you want to call it. So does that have an effect upon joy? Amen. So I'm making this huge confession to tell you that I've wrestled with the qualifications to preach to you about joy, but I do understand this, that joy is for the Christian multiple things. It is it is a practice. Joy is a practice. It is something that we develop, like all of the nine fruits of the Spirit that we read about, where the Bible tells us these are the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace. The first three, kind of a triplet group there that are top of the list, but long-suffering, gentleness, faith, temperance, all of those are the fruits of the Spirit. And we know that while they are the fruit of the Spirit in our life, none of us would claim to have all nine of them in perfection, in operation in our life at all times. Amen. And so joy is one of those. We are cultivating it. We are developing and growing along with this fruit of joy in our life. I believe that that joy is a pleasure. It is that enjoyment part of our life where we feel joy. It is an emotion. Amen. The scripture tells us in Psalm chapter 16, verse 11, "Thou dost show me the path of life. In thy presence there is fullness of joy. In thy right hand are pleasures forevermore." Praise God for the pleasures that we have straight from the hand of God. In his hand are pleasures forevermore. Joy is a pleasure. It is an emotional, enthusiastic feeling that we have in our life. And so I understand a little bit about that aspect of it. And so when we say that today we may not necessarily be feeling so much joy, it's in that category. But I believe that joy is also a pursuit of the Christian. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Amen. Joy comes from being in the presence of the Lord. I believe it's especially important for every Christian to spend time in the presence of the Lord. If you're not in the presence of the Lord, you're not experiencing joy. We have to get into the presence of the Lord. My wife sings a song sometimes. It's an older song, but I really, really like it. In the presence of Jehovah. Amen. And it's a beautiful song about being in the presence of Jehovah. But the verses say something like, one of them says, "All day long I've struggled." Amen. And there's another part that that says something along those same lines, that in and out of situations. And it kind of sets up in those verses the anticipation of the fact that though I've struggled, though I've been in and out of situations, and I've got some fatigue, and I've got some frustrations, and I've experienced some sadness through the week, amen, in his presence is fullness of joy. I'm glad to be in the presence of the Lord today. I felt a little something when we were clapping our hands a while ago. And I think that is connected to joy. So there's my confession. There's my setup for this subject, because I believe that joy ought to be a pursuit of every child of God. Now, how many of you feel like you could use some more joy? Even if you consider yourself a joyful person, we understand that there are setbacks and there are hindrances. And by the way, it is really hard to find joy when you're traveling Interstate 70, especially the washboard section between Richmond and Indianapolis. Amen. And I drove through St. Louis four times this week, coming and going to that funeral in Indianapolis. And you don't always feel joy in every situation, but I'm pursuing more joy. I want more joy. I want to be a joyful person. How about you this morning? So we need to hear something that will help us to focus on that very subject. So three things in my outline today. I want to talk to you a little bit about the facts of joy, what joy means, what it's about, and try to get some definition to go by. And then the focus of joy, or let's just say the faith in joy, and how we need faith in our movement towards experiencing that. And then this incredible force of joy. I believe that joy is a powerful force here on planet Earth, and we need to exercise more and more of it. Praise God. But first of all, the word joy appears in various forms throughout the Bible over 400 times. In fact, joy, joyful, joyfully, joyous, those versions of the word 187 times. And then companion words, rejoice, rejoicing, which are the, of course, the worshipful expressions of joy. They appear another 211 times. And so you put them all together, and we're well over 400 times the Bible is talking to us on this subject. So it's a very important subject. I'm not a Hebrew scholar. I don't know how to quote the Hebrew words, but I read from those that who do study it. And so it fascinates me that Kaufman Kohler in the Jewish Encyclopedia says that there is no other language that has as many words for joy and rejoicing as does the Hebrew. And in that Jewish encyclopedia is explained that in the Old Testament, there are 13 Hebrew root words. That's their starting point in building their communication, their verbiage. And there are 13 Hebrew root words that find expression in 27 different words that are similar to joy. So there's different ways of communicating this concept, this idea, what it means. Amen. I get way over my head with that, Brother Aaron. I'm thinking that when it comes to explaining joy, we need Jordan Peterson to come and give us some sort of a scientific, psychological explanation on how joy is part of our spiritual innermost being. Or at least we need C.S. Lewis to give us some kind of an explanation, and he would be good at it. In fact, he has a book. C.S. Lewis wrote a book called Surprised by Joy. And in it, he tells his testimony of how he was pursuing as a young person, pursuing all forms of happiness, pursuing joy and enjoyment in life, only to be surprised by the fact that none of it was found in the things of this world. But when he found Jesus, he found joy. Isn't it surprising that it's really that simple? It's not that complicated. And yes, the word studies are interesting, but you find Jesus, you find joy. Joy is a practice every day. Joy is a pleasure that we experience from time to time, but joy is a pursuit. And if we keep pursuing God and we keep pursuing His presence, when we get into His presence, we find joy. Hallelujah. Amen. I did discover that there are at least seven sources of joy in the scriptures. Amen. Salvation, of course, as we've just said, is the immediate source of joy. That's why David prayed in Psalm 51, verse 12, "Restore unto me the joy of my salvation." Actually, thy salvation. Amen. The joy, salvation, linked together. And we've already said, in the presence of the Lord is a source of joy. Amen. I think that the Holy Ghost is a source of or provider of joy in our life. The fruits of the Spirit I've already mentioned. Y'all still with me this morning? I tell you, another wrestling match that I've been having is this is feeling like a subject that I probably need to divide up into a series. But I'm going to try to plow through some of it because I want us to be encouraged in this pursuit of this important subject. We need this incredible force at work in our life. But in understanding it, for the Christian, amen, the joy is different than happiness. Pause just a second. I hadn't completed the fact part of joy, so let me just explain that joy is different from happiness. I did a Google search, just to see what the top articles might be concerning joy, and almost immediately are the explanations of why joy is different from happiness. Amen. I separate it this way. Happiness is temporal. It only lasts a short time. Joy is eternal. Hello? Amen. Happiness is carnal in the sense that it can be experienced in the carnal material world, and that you don't have to be a Christian to experience happiness. There are things that make you smile, make you laugh, and make you happy in this world. But joy is not carnal. It is spiritual. Amen. It has to happen deep within. So it was interesting to me that even the Mayo Clinic had an article explaining how to cultivate joy in your inner being. Now, separate from religion just for a moment. Separate from our religious experience and just get the idea that joy has to be within you, in your spirit, down deep inside of you. And real joy doesn't depend on the experiences of the world around about us. Oh, I wished we had some intellectual here to define all of that. Amen. There are some interesting facts concerning this. Joy is spiritual. And so when we get to that spiritual definition and the spirituality of joy, now we begin to focus on these seven different sources of spiritual joy in the Bible. Amen. Being in the presence of the Lord. Salvation, bringing joy. The Holy Ghost, growing joy in our life. Or how about Romans chapter 14, verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 1, 6. And you become followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost that we Pentecostals preach and strive for has dramatic effect upon us in lots of different ways. We need the Holy Ghost at work in our lives to find new ways to understand real joy. The joy of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need to experience joy when a sinner gets saved. It's the ultimate joy of heaven. And Jesus told us, likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. If the angels of heaven experience joy in heaven when they see one sinner repent and get saved, don't you think we ought to have some joy in the church when a backslider comes back or a sinner gets saved? Amen. Don't miss those opportunities. Praise God. The fellowship of the saints is a source of our joy. In 1 Thessalonians 2:19, what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not ye, even ye, in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Our joy is you. You are our joy, just knowing that we are part of the family of God and that you're serving him. We're serving him together brings us this level of happiness the world doesn't know. You are our glory and joy, for we have great joy and consolation in thy love. Amen. The Apostle Paul says, so fellowship with the saints is a source of joy. Serving others brings us joy. In fact, the little children sang a song, or at least when we were children, we would sing a song saying, J-O-Y, J-O-Y, this is what we mean. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Did you ever sing that song? Amen. Joy. Joy is putting Jesus first, and then after that, putting others before you. When we learn how to serve one another and give to others and be generous to each other, it provides for us a source of joy in our life. Amen. And so we see that there are several sources of joy, but fasten your seatbelts for this one. The seventh on my list of seven sources of joy is the testing of our faith. Woo, hold on now. How do our testings and our trials bring to us joy? They seem counterintuitive. They are argumentative. They are against each other. We've already, or I have already discussed how the trials of a busy week and the realities of life and death have all affected me in some ways this week. And so we're tempted to think that they are against each other. But we started out this morning with the verse where the Bible tells us that we should look to Jesus for our example. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now here it is. Who for the joy that was set before him. Come on now. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down now at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was in the midst of his suffering. Jesus was in the midst of the great pain and agony of the cross. I believe our challenge here today is to see whether it is possible for us to see around us the crises and calimities that are happening and catastrophes and in multiples all around about us, and to see all of that and be in the presence of bitter people and experience the sourness of sin curses all around about us, and live in this decaying world and pain in our own bodies and the many troubles and trials that we experience. And can we still, amen, stay focused on joy? If we're going to follow Jesus' example, then the answer to that is yes, we can. Even in the midst of our troubles and in the midst of our trials, if we could look beyond it to the other side, we begin to realize that there is a promise of joy. Hallelujah. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. That's what James had to say in chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. I haven't quite got there yet, Brother Steve. Count it all joy, amen, when I fall into all my various trials and temptations. But I do know the importance of it, that somehow or another God is working to the good, amen, all things in my life, that there's a better outcome of this, amen, that the reason that we can be joyful even in our troubles and trials is because we know that there's a better outcome on the other side of that. Amen. Jesus was suffering. Jesus was in pain. Jesus was in agony. Jesus was moaning and groaning as he carried that heavy cross up the hill. He felt the weakness of human flesh and frailty and the shedding of blood and the wicked things that were being said even as he was hanging there on the cross. Amen. And yet he had a motivating force within him that enabled him to endure endure the cross, to despise the shame, and keep moving forward towards the prize, the joy, the victory. Amen. The outcome on the other side is, amen, that Mike Blue would be saved. That Rick Cruz would be saved. Come on now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Sherman Maggard would be saved. And the outcome of that, his family, grandchildren, amen. And the results of salvation that would come. Praise God. That even Bill Norvell could get saved. Praise God. Jesus looked beyond the suffering of the cross for the joy of all of that that was on the other side. Oh, I wished I could preach to you this morning and talk to you about this incredible force of joy. But we're still struggling to understand the facts of it. The facts of the joy, amen, is that as a Christian, we've got at least 7 sources of joy. We have at least 7 expressions of joy. Amen. I used one of them this morning. Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. How about an expression of joy this morning? One more time. Hallelujah. I'm happy. Happy. I'm saved. Glory to God. Every once in a while, we see people run the aisles in a Pentecostal church. Running is an expression of joy. Amen. Leap for joy, the Bible says. Hallelujah. Leaping, running, clapping, raising your hands, all expressions of gratitude and happiness and joy. I'm glad that that joy is a part of the Christian life. Amen. Praise God. I can run through a troop and leap over a wall, the Bible says. Have you ever felt that sense of victory within you, that welling joy within you that makes you feel so strong in the Lord that you can say something similar to that? I can run through a troop and leap over a wall. Praise God. We may not feel that every day, but there is the possibility of joy in our lives. One more thing. Amen. There are also different levels of joy. Praise God. And as I look through the scriptures concerning this, I found out that there is in one place in Acts chapter 8, verse 8, the expression great joy. In fact, twice in the book of Acts, great joy was in the city as the gospel was going forth. Psalm 43 and 4 refers to exceeding joy. Amen. And then there's one place in the whole Bible. It's in the Christmas story. It's an unlikely place. These wise men are coming from the east. They had seen the star. They had seen the star, and it set them on their journey to find this king who was born. And we know who that king was, Jesus, right? Amen. And these wise men, it appears that they had lost sight of the star. They took the charts and the studies, and it led them as far as Jerusalem. And then they got some more information. They stopped and asked for directions, got pointed towards Bethlehem. And the Bible says, as they were approaching Bethlehem, when they saw the star, as if it came into view again for some reason, when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. Now, it's not Christmas time, so I'm not preaching on the wise man, but I can't help but imagine, what does exceeding great joy look like? 3 guys sitting on the backs of camels saying, oh, there it is. No. In fact, pardon me, but my imagination runs away with me. I think they jump off the camels and they're dancing in the sand. I think they're clapping. I think they're excited. They rejoice with exceeding great joy. The only place in the scripture where those 3 words are joined together, exceeding great joy. Amen. There is an incredible force behind this subject that we're trying to define today. Amen. I believe that it's important for us to refocus on the facts about joy and the faith that is required for us to embrace joy, because it does require faith. And we see that, I believe, that Jesus, the ultimate man of faith, believed what was going to happen on the other side of the cross. And we're going to believe what happens on the other side of our trial is going to make it worth it. And we're going to believe that joy does exist, regardless of what the world says, regardless of what our situation looks like. We're going to believe and have faith that there is joy ahead for us, and we're going to reach towards that. Amen. And by faith, joy begins to come into view, and then we ultimately understand that faith and joy linked together change a lot about life. I believe that joy pushes back the forces of hell, the darkness of demons, the discouragement, the depression, the anxiety. Joy is important to us as a warring instrument against the forces of hell. And while the examples that I think of in the Bible don't necessarily use the word joy, it does refer to rejoicing. And there are times where God said, here's what I want you to do. March around the wall 7 times. Nobody say a thing. Amen. And on the 7th day, on the 7th time, I want everybody to shout. I want everybody to shout. Amen. And guess what happens in their rejoicing? Because I don't believe it's just a loud scream that they did. I believe that it was a praise to Almighty God, a shout to the Lord. And when they shouted, the walls came down. You want to bring the walls down, you've got to get to developing this idea of rejoicing in your life. You've got to develop, you've got to cultivate, you have to put in practice this idea of joy in your life. And somehow the clouds of doubt and discouragement and despair will begin to dissipate. Amen. But you've got to give God some praise even in the process. It's related to joy. Amen. What about that event where, where Gideon and his men had to break the pitchers and blow the trumpets, and they had a shout as well, and it broke up the enemy strategies, and a victory came. Victory is a result of rejoicing and joy in our life. Let's get focused on that, because there's an incredible force behind it. I believe that joy is a force that brings down the walls of opposition and chases away the enemies, and I believe that turns our situations from hopeless to hopeful. If we could just get a hold of this idea of how powerful a force it really is in our life. And besides that, the way that joy impacts others all around about us. Amen. To be around people who are negative and gloomy and struggling and critical, come on now, drains us. And we all have them, and really, I guess we can't go through this world and completely ignore them and not be around them. But the counter reaction to overcoming the negativity of the world is for us to have some positivity, amen, some sort of energy within us, some sort of enthusiasm, excitement, anticipation, hope, joy in our life, amen, that overcomes the darkness. I like what Sister Ruth said in her announcement about glow in the dark, that it's not just a Halloween replacement that we're trying to do here. It's not just a matter of giving out candy to the kids in a safe environment, though that is part of it. The ultimate goal is on one of the darkest nights on the calendar, becoming increasingly more and more dark. And some of us old timers remember the day where it just seemed like it was all innocent fun, you know, Halloween fun. But all you have to do now is drive up and down the neighborhoods and see the giant skeletons and skulls and the hovering blackbirds and the laid out symbols of death and fright and blood and guts and go. Come on now. It's getting darker and darker and darker. I'd like to turn the light on, wouldn't you? I want us to glow in the dark. We need to show forth this incredible force of joy and act like there is a source, a reason to live, to have happiness and purpose in life. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to close with this. I'm just about done. As always, I'm getting my notes very late to the team back there, and they are so gracious and somehow work with me. And part of that is because I'm just not real tech savvy. Part of it is we're traveling so much I can't get to my computer, and sometimes it's just I don't know what I'm going to say yet. I asked Brother Mike if there was any possibility he could pull up a picture of a three-layer cake, but he said... What? He did. I thought it was too much work to get the ingredients together and the oven turned up. And a hand clap to our tech team back there. Thank you, Brother Mike. Joy is a three-layer cake. You like three-layer cakes, don't you? On one level, joy is contentment. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. If as Christians we can develop this first layer of just being content with what we have, because... happiness is not based on the amount of money, the amount of toys that we have. He who has the most toys still dies. You can't take it with you. Joy doesn't come from things. The best things in life are not things. Joy is contentment. Just being, I'm content. The second layer is fulfillment. It's found in this word, joy, because joy is a sense of purpose, as we've already said. That's the motivating force that gets us through the troubles and trials and situations of our life. We have a sense of purpose, and knowing our purpose brings us a sense of fulfillment. We're accomplishing something. We're doing something good. And our doing something good has very little to do with going to amusement parks all the time. Y'all looking at me funny? Hey, man. Fulfillment, having a sense of purpose, a sense of direction. That's a sense of joy. I've got contentment. I've got fulfillment in my life. And that's why I can tell people that I'm a joyful person. Even on my sad and gloomy days, I don't lose sight of the fact that I'm content, really, with the things that I have. I'm fulfilled in my life doing what God has called me to do. And then the third layer on the top, then we talk about enjoyment. Enjoyment, that's not the main definition here. It's not just the pleasure part that we mentioned earlier. In God's hand are pleasures forevermore. And he gives us pleasure. He gives us pleasures of all different kinds. Thank God for it. It is a gift from God to have enjoyments in this life. Amen. I'm glad that God gave us taste buds. Amen. It's the only way to discern between beans and the seasoning you put on them. Amen. If I can't taste the seasoning, it's just beans. Enjoyment. But enjoyment is not the total definition of joy. It's just one of three layers in our life. And you put it all together, it's beautiful. And it's delicious. And I want more joy in my life. Don't you? Let's eat the whole cake today. Come on, stand with me this morning. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the insights that you've given us. We thank you, God, for joy. And we know, Lord, that in this dark and sin-cursed world, the world is so confused with the pleasures and happiness that they embrace that do not bring any satisfaction. Would you help us, Lord, as your children, to be able to bring meaningful joy to the people that we encounter with this week, and we give you the praise for the outcome of it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head bowed, nobody looking around, I'd like to just ask if there's somebody here today that understands what C.S. Lewis meant, the great theologian, when he said, "I kept searching for happiness. I tried all of the things that I thought would bring me happiness, and none of them satisfied. I need something more, something lasting. What you need is the joy of salvation." Would you let us pray with you this morning as you ask Jesus to come into your life? As you repent, that's what the scripture said, joy in heaven. The angels rejoice when there's repentance. When you turn from your sin and turn to the Savior. If you'd like to step out and come down here to the front, I'd like to pray with you, and others will pray with you, that you would find this joy in Jesus that the rest of us have found. I keep saying this, and probably will repeat it often, but if you're backslidden, if you're away from God right now, you used to know Him, but you're away from Him right now, it's time for you to come home. Come on back. It's the only way that you're going to find contentment, fulfillment, and enjoyment in your life. Church, would you lead the way this morning, and maybe somebody will mix in with the crowd and come and find some help from the Lord. Let's pray about this today. I've taken a little longer than normal, maybe, but I got through my main points, and though it sounded like a series, I hope that you got the main points here today. We need to refocus our attention on these fruits of the Spirit. Cultivating them, developing them, growing them, including joy. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God for the incredible force of that in our life.
I've got joy in the struggle. Got peace in the storm. Got strength in the battle. I don't fear anymore. I'm a child of heaven. My hope is secure. I've got joy because I've got Jesus. Oh, He gave me beauty for ashes. Turned my life around. He broke my chains and now I on solid ground. For all He's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus. So I've got, He gave me beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains and now I dance on solid ground. For all He's done to save me, the battle.
beauty for ashes, turned my life around. He broke my chains and now I dance on solid ground. For all he's done to save me, I will raise my voice. I've got Jesus, so I've got joy.